episode 93 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded August 4th, 2016. Existential Crisis. Randy, it's been a while since we've been recording.
It doesn't seem like it, though, because there was an episode last week.
There was, but we recorded uncharacteristically early for that episode, and so it's just, I kind of missed your face.
Did you? You missed my face?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Not in a weird way.
You don't get those texts I send you every night, like, here's my face?
I had to block you. You kind of know why, and we shouldn't discuss that.
Fair enough. Not on mic. That's true.
Yeah,
legal proceedings are still proceeding.
But we are excited this week because we're going to be talking about BoJack Horseman.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about the, I guess, season finale of Preacher.
Yes.
The first season. And I got some thoughts. What about you?
I have some thoughts as well. I'll be curious to hear, see if our thoughts intersect.
I imagine they will.
Yeah.
But before we get into all that, we are the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
And we have the special guest, Ashley Moreno, joining us once again.
Hello. I've never been asked out twice before. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Yeah. Well, you know, pipe dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, goals.
Yeah.
Now, Ashley also does shows over on oneofus.net.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
And you're a writer for the Austin Chronicle.
I am. Yeah, yeah. So.
And you can make meth in a lab, right?
You know, these are all...
Oh, sorry. My bad. My bad.
Yeah, we don't talk about why you got blocked from right. from texting people.
Right.
We don't talk about what I do in my lab.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That seems reasonable.
Yeah. All right. Before we get into the rest of the show, we got some house cleaning to do. And first up, iTunes. Hey, if you guys are listening to us on iTunes, why don't you go ahead and go over to the store or the app or whatever you're on and look us up, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. And that would be a great way to help out the show. You give us more visibility, and we would greatly appreciate it. We will read that review here on the show. You can say literally anything.
Literally anything.
Although, if it's more in the positive direction about our show, it's kind of better.
We would appreciate that,
yes. We would greatly appreciate it. Speaking of other things we appreciate, patreon.com/TVDudes is a system that allows you, the listener, to actually support our show. We are financially supported 100% through listeners like you, and we have people to thank. These people have given us $1 or $2 per episode each week when we release it. They get charged. They don't get charged if we don't release anything that week. And in exchange, we've been giving these people bonus exclusive content. We'll record little 30-minute episodes on anything pop culture related, but generally not related to TV directly, so that it, you know, it's something that else that we want to discuss that slips between the cracks.
They're also going to get early access to Beach Cop Detectives and Terriers podcast.
Yes, they are. Absolutely. Your new Terriers podcast is
coming
soon.
Which is 6 episodes recorded, 4 edited, or 4 in stages of editing. And man, guys, some exciting news. I'm talking to a bunch of people about doing interviews. We're talking Sean Ryan, Tim Minear, Ted Griffin.
I don't know if you should be giving out names yet. We got to lock
Logue.
That down.
I've heard from all these people. It's all in the works.
That is so exciting.
So this is going to be a big old thing, and Patreon listeners will get it a couple weeks early.
So this isn't going to be TV Dudes presents Beach Cop Detectives. It's going to be Beach Cops Detectives presents
since TV Dudes.
Dudes.
Yeah.
Soon enough. Mm-hmm. You're going to eclipse us.
No, once we finish Beach Cop, it's been very successful so far, I think.
Yeah.
So you had a great idea. I think once we do this, we'll take on another show. Like, I don't know, The Simpsons, maybe. Every episode.
They only have a couple episodes, I think,
yeah,
after a few.
Yeah, we can cover them all. Yeah.
Oh, my God. We would never, ever, ever, ever finish that. Ever.
Well, they're never going to finish The Simpsons. We'd never catch up.
Yeah, it's still going. But we do want to thank our new Patreon listeners who have joined on the site, Mitchell Terranova and Sir Laszlo the Great. Thank you guys so much for your support. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
And to the rest of you guys, once again, that's patreon.com/TVDudes. We also have listener questions. So if you guys like us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, you guys can go there and you can ask us questions once a week for our episode. We're going to move to those right now. Our first question comes to us from Jonathan Haptemichael. He says, with Stranger Things being a Netflix hit, what decade-defining movie or TV genre or trope would you like to see return to modern television?
I've been thinking about this because I looked at this question.
Oh, yeah?
And I have two answers. One is serious. One less so.
Okay.
So the first answer, the serious answer, and we've talked about this before on the show, especially when Greg was around, 70s cop show, like 70s detective show.
Mm-hmm.
I want 70s detective shows back. I think you could do a updated, gritty, real version of them that would be really interesting. That is my serious answer. My less serious answer is 90s spoiled Gen Xers. Let's see a spoiled Gen Xer. I mean, I guess we're sort of seeing that with Love and all the sort of
yeah, but it doesn't harken back really hardcore.
Yeah, you don't really get the sort of youthful want to punch him in the face of Janine Garofalo and
my so-called lie.
Yeah, well, and I'm thinking of Reality Bites.
Reality Bites.
Reality Bites is
Records.
If you watched it when you were a kid in the 90s, oh, Empire Records. Sorry, I like Empire Records, but if you watch these when you were a kid in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, yeah, stick it to the man, then you watch it again when you're an adult, like 10 years later, you're like, oh, fuck those kids,
grow the fuck up.
What if the people in the shows we have now just started wearing those clips for little kids? Would that give you the punchability that you're looking for in
Gen
X?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just an inch away from punching people at any given time. So, yeah.
You just need any reason to punch people.
I do.
You know what I want?
What?
I want more freeze frames at the end of every episode.
Yeah.
Just the music keeps going and it's freeze. Dun, 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 dun.
Do they have to high five and that kind of thing too?
Preferably.
Like, what if Game of Thrones started ending that way?
Yes.
I'm just saying, Tyrion high fives somebody and it freeze frames. I'd watch that. I think that's great. I think it's a good idea.
Inappropriately timed laugh tracks. So they're like, hey Larry, how's it going?
Not
so good. I have cancer. That's all I want. Is that so much to ask?
So I just keep trying to think of who else should have freeze frames at the end of their shows now. Better Call Saul?
SVU Special Victims Unit.
Yeah,
obviously.
Special Victims. You should definitely.
I
mean,
I feel like
have,
I
yes.
shouldn't have even had to
yes,
say
no,
that.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, that's why freeze frames were invented.
Well, I guess that guy's going to jail for rape. High five.
So let me get this straight. High five. That was I suggested I was high fiving Randy because visual jokes.
Yeah.
That's what a podcast needs.
People on podcasts love visual jokes.
Yeah, that's good.
A lot of, if you're gonna do pratfalls later,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they love pratfalls.
Yeah, yeah. I'll work on my Foley jokes.
Ashley, do you have any tropes or things you want come back?
I don't know if I want them to come back, but what I would like to see is sort of like the bus traveling family. They could be surfers. They could be musicians.
Like the Partridge Family.
Yeah, like the Partridge Family. Anything like
what
that.
What if they were serial killers?
I feel like now we're going back to the 90s, and this is more like one you already covered.
That's true. You're right.
The other one I was going to offer is not punchability Gen Xers, but more like Clueless.
Oh,
90s,
yeah.
Because that's actually one of my guilty favorite movies.
Oh, Clueless is great.
Yeah, because it's the best. It is a fantastic adaptation, one of my favorite novels, too. So,
didn't they do a Clueless TV show?
It was not good.
Oh, that's
it was
too
not
bad.
Good. I think the only person in the both of just like that had all the makings.
Yeah.
You know what?
This should have been gold.
Of Emmy winning, yeah.
You know what my pitch for your traveling family though?
Yeah, lay it on me.
Food truck. Look at Chef. Look at Chef and expand Chef into a show where like there's all that family drama.
Look at how many millions of people didn't watch Chef.
But look at how many millions of people did watch that one episode of Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
It was a good episode. Boom.
I think family opens a food truck. I think that's your show.
Yeah.
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 And they're married to themselves.
Now it got weird. Sometimes your ability to do that is both upsetting and hilarious.
That's how I end every pitch. Someone's gonna bite.
Zach McLernan does not bite. He says one of the common complaints of shows is dwelling on a story element for too long. Examples include The Farm in Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Daenerys staying too long in Essos.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And recently, the pacing of this season of Mr. Robot. I was about to say Mr. Roboto. It's just Mr. Robot.
That's our friend's podcast.
A complaint that was raised by IGN. Another example is Dragon Ball Z, where two characters fought for 20 episodes. What, in your opinion, causes this to happen? And do you think this is more of a perception issue on the part of the audience, or is it a legitimate problem with some of the writers?
I think it can vary, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I think in the case of The Walking Dead, it may have really been a set kind of issue.
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean.
Saying.
Where, yeah, like I guess because when I think about the comics, I made it through maybe like the first omnibus and into the second one. It was just like a video game. Like they just kept hopping around, but you can't really do that. I feel like in a show versus something like Game of Thrones, where she had some shit to clean up.
Yeah,
and you kind of even felt like that too when I read those books. I was just like, oh god, just go the fuck back to Westeros. But if she cared at all, if you're gonna believe her character,
she has
to clean up her mess.
Yeah.
And so I think it can be different.
Kind of depending. If she goes over there, she's going to wreck shop too early.
Yeah, exactly.
Ruins the rest of the drama.
Also, I think
her dragons weren't big enough.
Yeah.
It's also, it's kind of a budgetary thing. Like you say, they can't do it in Walking Dead. Preacher's a great example.
Yeah.
Preacher spent all season, spoilers, in Anvil, Texas.
Yeah.
That was a weird decision.
For a road trip.
That was a weird call. And you know what else? What about Lost? They spent like 9 seasons on one island.
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense.
I mean, yes, I get the set thing, but they're...
like,
they're,
get two bears,
get
at
to
least.
The bears. Where did the polar bears come from?
Don't start. I will explain that one to you off mic. But, I think
Patreon episode.
I think definitely that it's an issue with the writing. I think you can take and set something in one location and you can make it interesting if you have engaging writing. You can spin things off in all sorts of different directions there. I mean, Breaking Bad spent a lot of time in that lab and it was fascinating.
Yeah.
Hey, man, 12 Angry Men, they never left that jury room.
They were still angry.
It's very sweaty, too.
Yeah, sweaty, angry men.
Those were some sweaty balls.
That's actually the sequel. Oh, 12 Angry Sweaty Men.
I think it's called 24 Sweaty Balls.
It takes place in a locker room.
That was
room.
A different movie, and I have to say I liked it just as much, but with a different part of me.
Yeah, it's a writer problem.
It's a writer problem.
Yeah. The audience isn't wrong.
No, the audience is never wrong.
No, never. Dennis McElwain says, what TV show do you put on in the background when you're doing housework? From your reactions, I knew that Real Rob was fantastic, but wow, it makes me cry so much. Like somebody is hitting me repeatedly in the crotch with a Morningstar. Best ever.
Man, so, he has a way with words.
I tend to go shows I've already watched
too.
I'm doing housework. It tends to be comedies, stuff that I don't have to pay attention to the plot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of which ones I put on. Like, right?
I put on Next Generation a lot, especially now that it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Because it's also soothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like to know it's on.
Netflix is one of those that I usually will have it running in the background.
I've been doing West Wing lately because I've watched it, but I know it, so I can sort of like halfway do something else, like when I'm working on the store
it's
newsletter
so
or whatever.
Heavy, isn't it?
No, it's pretty light, all things considered.
I just think like that one is so. You have to pay attention because there's so many moving parts.
Well, here's the problem I've discovered, and this happens with a lot of shows, is that I put it on the background and wind up watching it.
Mm. Yeah. So that's not effective background watching.
No, but it's what I've been doing lately.
You should give Batman the Animated Series a try because that's also on Amazon. I put that on. Also, the 2007 The Batman is
on
Netflix.
Yeah, I have been doing Justice League, actually.
Yeah,
yeah,
those ones are good
for
the background.
Yeah, cartoons are great.
Alejandro Reyes Zapata has got a specific question for you, Ashley.
Ooh.
He asks, can you ask Ashley what her favorite current shows are?
Oh, my favorite current shows. Well, uncoincidentally, not a coincidence. I love BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good show, which brings us together here today.
Mm-hmm.
Other favorite shows...
Did you see Stranger Things?
Loved Stranger Things. I really liked it. In fact, the few people in my feed who didn't like it, I actually had an anger response. I was just like, dead to me.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I had. We had that. One of my friends posted that thing. It was a Stranger Things, and it was like he posted somebody's negative review. I don't remember which AV club. No, it was AV. Somebody wrote a negative review, and. It was like, he's like, I post this not to troll. It was just sort of an interesting thing. And without fail, everybody who didn't like Stranger Things came out of the woodworks. There was like 8 people there talking about how they're like, yeah, I didn't get it. And it was like they'd finally found their safe space to talk about they didn't like Stranger Things. So I had to go in there and make sure they knew it was not a safe space.
Yeah.
That shit will not stand.
So did you take their comment and kind of hold it by the forehead and while they swung?
I did. I kind of put their comment in a toilet bowl and flushed it.
Yeah.
And just let it like swing their comment's hair.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So
you're
definitely Stranger Things.
On the internet.
I don't know how current, but Master of None.
Oh yeah.
Just blew me away. I loved that show. Like, great. Too much. It's a little old now. I guess it's almost, oh man, time goes by fast. I guess I'm almost a year old now, but I really liked that one quite a bit.
But you're pure Netflix, right? You're like all about the Netflix.
Yeah, I have to get it off of Amazon or Netflix. I don't have any normal TV.
I'm actually probably about to drop Hulu.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're losing CW. They don't have CBS. And I don't know if there's that much network stuff. Netflix and Amazon cover so much of what you want to watch.
Oh, Penny Dreadful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like Penny Dreadful.
Yeah.
It's good.
I got bad news about the Penny Dreadful, though.
Oh, I'm episodes behind you, so. Shit. Does it take a negative turn?
No, I haven't watched any of it. I just, you know that was it. Like, it's only three seasons.
Why did you do that?
No!
I didn't take a break.
All right, so we got a little bit of news this week. Nothing like earth-shaking, but there's some interesting stuff here for me.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, HBO had an upfront at like the Television Critics Association.
Mm-hmm.
So they announced Westworld premiere date, which is going to be October 2nd. Mm-hmm. And then on October 9th, just as exciting, Sarah Jessica Parker's new show, Divorce, is coming. That's not just as exciting, I'm sorry. No. Nobody.
I was like, "What's the exciting?"
Nobody cares. I mean, it might be good. It's got the guy I always think of as Lowell from Wings, which he's done so much other stuff. He's like got an Oscar and everything, but I always think of him as Lowell from Wings.
Lowell?
He looked so sad when you dropped that was what was coming. It was like a rolling kid, and the DJ failed to drop the beat.
Yeah,
he was just still staring at you like. And
Grant was like, "What?" Grant's like, "I haven't heard anything more exciting than Westworld. What could it be?"
Just grinding my jaw here for something.
Sorry.
Just give me an outlet, my God.
Anyway, Sarah Jessica Parker's got her new show and a show called Insecure, which I don't know what that is, but it's another HBO show. But Alan Ball has announced that he's got a new show at HBO. Previously, he did 6 Feet Under and True Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Said the new series, his third series with HBO, really wanted to pursue a drama on a contemporary American family. And I'm like, oh, well, he's never done that before.
Yeah, but it's like he went from 6 Feet Under to so weird.
Yeah.
So
I guess the message is less True Blood, more 6 Feet Under, more American Beauty.
Yeah, please.
That's probably a good call. And then Jon Stewart, who is joining the HBO family, an animated comedy show.
Wow. Wah, 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 wah. That's you dropping the beat.
Oh, thank God. I thought he was going to be toothless by the end of this.
The HBO, I can't tell who this guy is.
It's Blois. Animated?
Yes. Here's the quote is from HBO.
Yeah?
I talked to Jean before this. I said, how do you want me to describe this? It is animation. He is establishing an animation studio because he wants to get material out multiple times a day. The idea is it will be an animated parody of a cable news network, kind of an onion-like portal. It'll be very much John's voice, both his actual voice and his tone. My hope is it will be up and running by September, October, but it's a big endeavor he's taken on, hopefully by this fall.
What? I didn't read about this.
Yeah.
I just saw that he's coming back. I didn't know that he's going to try and crank out a couple different things a day.
It's crazy.
But have it animated. That's nuts.
I don't know. South Park does it. It's just South Park animation.
South Park has a week to put something together.
I don't know.
Not a couple times a day.
I don't know. It's crazy.
I'm sweating.
I love the idea of more Jon Stewart. And I really want him to get on before the election.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him missing out on all this prime Trump stuff. I mean, he got to do a couple minutes
it's
of
all
it.
All over now.
He got to do a couple minutes of it on Colbert, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
That's good.
But I miss him. I miss that guy.
So I think this isn't in the news, but it's also HBO related.
Yep.
And that is that because they're pushing back Game of Thrones a little bit because of the season issues, the season of the year in which they need to film, they need it to be winter time.
Right.
They're bringing leftovers a little sooner. They're putting leftovers in the spot before, which is exciting to me, because guess who's going to be in the first episode of the new season?
Who?
I'm pointing to myself.
Oh, I thought you were doing like a Fonzie.
It's another one of those visual things that doesn't work.
I thought you were doing like a Fonzie A thing.
Hey, Fonzie's going to be in it.
I just thought we were going to play a stunning game of podcast charades. Yeah. Where I'm like, he appears to be telling us first word sounds like stinky.
No, I'm just itching my nose. Oh, sorry. It's very confusing.
I was in a
cameo. Yeah. Not cameo. I think that would mean I have more celebrity appeal. Yeah, I was an extra.
Guest starring Grant Davis.
No, I'm telling people a cameo.
Yeah, I think I should be in a total of like maybe 2 seconds of footage.
Yeah, watch for those 2 seconds though.
It'll be
mesmerizing.
Exciting. It's gonna be all over my Facebook if I can get a screenshot.
Oscar worthy.
Yeah.
The first Oscar for background acting.
I'm gonna submit my own for your consideration.
Submit your reel.
Oh my god, I will help you make that. And bonus, Randy, he's not gonna be able to bang all the ladies. The extras will fall to us all after the shooting is done.
He's right. Yeah.
Silver lining, guys.
Yeah.
What else we got?
All right. Also in HBO, and I'm excited about this. HBO's Duplass Brothers, the Togetherness show, I loved. Mm-hmm. So they still have a deal with the network. They're doing a new show called Room 104, which follows the comings and goings of a solitary hotel room. It tells a story of a different story of assorted characters who pass through it each episode. So they said, we've seen stories set in seedy motels and high-class international resorts, but for years we've been fascinated by the funny, weird, sad, scary, absurd things going down in that corporate chain hotel near the airport. That's what Room 104 is after, finding some magic in the seemingly mundane. That is so Duplass Brothers.
Yeah.
That is, and it's fascinating because it seems like they're taking the season anthology and making it an episodic anthology now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see it. Yeah. I like those guys.
Yeah, this is like the first time I've kind of heard from the perspective of the object. Because I immediately go like, oh, like the red violin. But since these guys are doing it, it's like when you watch the movie from the perspective of the violin.
Yeah, it's like the red violin, but a seedy hotel room instead.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually love their stuff. So for the first time, I actually am kind of into an idea like this.
And those guys pull in a lot of great talent because everyone seems to love working with them. They don't pay anything, it seems like, because everything's super budget.
Yeah,
but it's always fun, and it's always I guess a good challenge for actors. So they love doing it.
I mean, the guys on Togetherness, I loved that cast. Not just Amanda Peet and Mark Duplass, who I like and had known, but Steve Zissou, who was the lead in that, was great. And Melanie Lynskey, I think.
Yeah.
And I've seen her in other stuff, but I don't know where I've seen her. I fell so in love with that actress. I had such a crush on that actress and that character from that show. I loved her in that show. And I think they found a way to give an actress a part that was really memorable.
You need to get over it.
I am over it.
Hey, Grant, can you introduce us with your new star cred?
Yeah, maybe I can. I can pull some strings.
You can do that, right? Yeah.
You guys are already taking advantage of me.
I've got some slightly... But before we go back to HBO news,
okay,
I have slightly bad news for you guys.
Do you?
Powers has been canceled.
Oh, no.
Powers will not be having a season 3. and I see Ashley looks confused. Powers is a show on Sony's PlayStation Network.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That some people watched, I guess.
We watched the first episode.
That first episode was a hate crime.
Yeah, we choked it.
That's not just a bad pilot. That was, I felt like I was actively assaulted.
So it was interesting because when we were at ATX Fest, it was so strange because it was like I could watch the mixed feelings on the faces of the nerds around me for this like beloved franchise, but like, oh.
Yeah, because we went to the superheroes panel at ATX and Bendis was there. And he was clearly taking a more involved role in Powers this season. Like, he was talking about, like, being on the set and, like, writing some of the scripts, clearly.
Did you guys even read my comic?
And
why would you put that scrawny dude as Christian Walker?
And that was not the vibe. You'd expect that, right? No, the vibe was, we're really excited to be doing Powers, and how great is it? And I'm like, do you not know? How do you not know? How do you not know this is a bad version of your show?
Well, that's the panel I was at, too, where he's on the same stage as, like, the director of Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
She must have been sitting there like, oh, y'all, I'm just giving this one. This is hard for all of us.
It's hard for all of us, yeah. It's like, well, here's the person from Jessica Jones, here's someone from another good show, and here's Powers. Aww. Sorry.
Oh, God.
That's so embarrassing.
So I feel bad for him because he tweeted.
You don't. He's your enemy, isn't he?
I kind of, but he's a nice enough guy.
Okay.
Anyway. No.
Wait, what?
I don't like his writing. And we had
I was like, that was like the compliment version of a humble brag.
We had a falling out over reviews a long while back, and okay. he says this is hard to
he
tweet.
Can introduce you guys though. He's still
yeah. This is hard to tweet, but word is that Powers the Series is sadly no more. Season 2 was the last of it, was the last, at least for now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh man, did they not know when they were coming to ATX Fest that they were going to cancel it? Because they must have known, right?
Well, you think that they would have had a discount dildo sale if right? they had really known. Yeah, if they had known that.
That's a joke for everyone who's at the ATX panel.
I found it amusing out of context, so whatever.
Well, a dildo sale always lands.
That's true.
Always lands.
You never
comedic
pass
gold.
Up a dildo sale.
No, never. Never.
All right.
Always a chuckle.
Finally, one last bit from HBO about a show that everybody wants to know about, and that's Game of Thrones.
Woo!
So season 7 is only 7 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Season 8 is going to have 6, maybe? They didn't specifically nail the episode count down.
I thought they were going to have 42 more episodes in season 8.
Oh, that's just mean, Grant. Why would you do that to people?
Just never end.
But they did for 100% say 8 is the final season.
Yeah.
However, there are rumors they might do some spinoffs.
I heard that you had some suggestions for that.
I do have some suggestions. I believe that the Tales of Young Ned Stark, which, by the way, I believe the way to do it is as kind of a coming-of-age teen comedy.
Oh, yeah. Just a stick in the mud.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I did want to see more of young Ned Stark. And, yeah. like, I want to say, like, the second to last episode or whatever of the last season, the younger Ned.
Yeah.
You know he was up to some shenanigans.
But I'm just thinking that's the guy who was, like, he was the guy who had the sword in the kingdom and, like, some other guy was the one who just wanted to go out and get drunk and meet girls and raid villages. Mm-hmm. And Ned was always having to be the stick in the mud. I think there's a story there to be told.
I want to see a show called Beyond the Wall that's a little bit like The Office, but with just like all the ice people up there. And, they seem just like all these mean warriors. But what are they doing in their off time?
Right. You know what they're doing, Grant?
Water cooler talk.
Stand-up comedy right against that wall.
Yeah. That's
throwback to the 90s.
Oh, man.
I want to see a science special featuring Dorne.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Or some spinoffs with some of the lesser-known houses.
Like Dorne.
That's not a lesser-known house.
How about...
I was thinking like the Fozzy Ways or whatever.
How about...
the
house,
Red Apples.
House Tully's Fishing Adventures.
No. All I can picture is a sea captain from The Simpsons. That's it. Except he's dressed like the Blackfish.
Yes. And I also think... the animated adventures of the young Stark direwolves. Dire pups.
Dire pups. Something for the kids.
That'll be adorable. It's like Care Bears in some way. Yeah, no thanks.
Something like an Airbender, but it features all of like the Lord of Light worshippers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could
Where
see that.
Instead of like wacky hijinks, they burn somebody they never ever episode.
That's sadder than what I was picturing. Yeah. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, I was thinking sort of a wacky way.
Oh, I'm in. I'm always in for a wacky stake burning.
On a side note, I've been reading this script that's a fan spec script. Or I guess it's one of these kind of known in certain circles comedy writer. He wrote a spec script for Seinfeld.
The 9/11.
The 9/11 one? Are you
I need to read this because I've heard it's amazing.
Oh, so there's this... I'm sorry, guys. We're going to have to record later. I've got something to go read.
This dude wrote a script like in the days after 9/11 happens. What's the Seinfeld crew up to?
Oh, my God.
Every bit as terrible and amazing and hysterical as you might expect. If you still... I feel like enough time has passed that you can do a parody in this. Mm-hmm.
It might
terrible.
Still be too soon.
Maybe. But man, is it... It's just... It's so funny.
Is it really just another Seinfeld episode?
Yep,
they're like such terrible people that nothing different happens. George is still upset because someone cut him off in traffic.
Except worse.
Oh, God.
There's a part with Kramer where... He's upset because he ended up lending his box cutter to one of the people that ended up being a...
Oh, my God!
And he's trying to go get the government to pay him back for his box cutter.
Well, it's been fun.
This is just a small snippet of everything terrible.
It's been fun having this podcast. Later, when I'm asked if I know you guys, I will be forced to say no.
we want to move on and talk about season 3 of BoJack Horseman, which just came out. And I think we all went all the way through it, right?
Yeah.
All 12 episodes?
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Let's start with you, Ashley.
So I loved it. I also liked the first season. It took me a couple episodes to get into it, but overall, I still liked the first season. I liked the second season better. And I like this one even more. I have to say that it takes, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit before, it takes a dark turn. It gets, Jesus. And so I was a little surprised at its ability to kind of sucker punch me because at this point, A, I see it coming, and B, I'm kind of a jaded bitch. But dude.
yeah, it gets dark there
so
at the end.
We're talking spoilers.
Oh, yeah, we are going to talk spoilers.
Who wants to skip ahead. But you're talking about the death, right?
Yeah. I wasn't exactly sure like how specific we wanted to get about the episodes.
Okay. We're deconstruct for everyone who's watched it.
Okay, cool. So I want to say it's like in the third or second to last episode where BoJack,
it's the penultimate,
he's in a downward spiral. Things have really gone to shit. So he calls up Sarah Lynn to go on a drug bender. And she's like, oh, thank God, because she's been sober for 9 months, worth pointing out. And there's this moment where there's several blackouts into their drug binge, and Sarah Lynn passes out on the couch and for a moment doesn't answer.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're not going to. But then she wakes up and is just like, no, I'm not sleeping, I'm bored. And you're like, of course not. So then later, when it does happen, and she's reflecting on what she actually wanted her life to be.
Yeah.
Damn, cartoon.
Yeah. Oh,
damn.
Well, the worst thing is like, I don't know how he comes back from this. He basically killed one of his best friends.
He did. And what's also interesting is that, like, everybody else on the show just talks about how it was bound to happen. Yeah. Nobody's really giving him a hard time.
No.
And it's very much the way you could see, I guess because it's a cartoon, you're able to kind of show these sort of very real kind of mental illness, unhealthy situations, but yeah, they're not even coming down on him, and he basically killed this girl.
And I think that's the worst thing for him is like no one's calling him out for it, and so he feels even worse. Like he just got away with it. Yeah.
It is fascinating how this show is able to, it's a really funny show. And it just has so many clever, creative jokes, especially for this world of animals and humans living together. And I love the little cutaways they'll do.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're able to have that much humor and then turn on a dime and have some of the heaviest, most depressed, like he's full on like dealing with terrible depression and drug abuse issues all the time in this show.
Yeah.
And now this is one of the darkest things that's happened in his life. And I thought season two with him and Penny
was
such a dark and uncomfortable turn, and it showed how broken he is, and especially like after it seemed like he was in a way trying to like get his shit back together and he seemed to escape and he was feeling good, he was making a connection with someone and really cared about her, and then he just destroys all of it.
Yeah.
And it's so crushing as the audience to watch that.
Yeah, because we want to like him. Like he's a likable character, and you see that he's not Jenna Maroney from 30 Rock.
No.
Yeah.
He's a human being that's a horse.
He's Danny a human Tanner.
he's a decent guy who's just got some major issues and had a fucked up life and doesn't know how to deal with it.
And he can't make proper connections with anyone.
And he can't, I mean, every time he looks like he's dragged himself out, he's running for an Oscar. And he's got everything he wanted, and he's still not happy.
Well, and then when season two ended up on kind of like a positive note after that dark thing that happened with Penny, in season three, where we go back and revisit that, and Sarah Lynn Cosmati is like, oh, actually, she would have been fine, but then you came to visit her, and it's almost like all the hurt you ever caused her came flooding back all at once.
Yeah.
So it's like any kind of redemption that you felt coming out of season two from his biggest trespass just slaps you in the face again, and it just doesn't turn back around.
It's relentless to the audience, and yet I think this show, I don't personally suffer from any sort of depression, but everyone I talk to who does that watches this show, this resonates so hard for them, and they all talk to me about how much they appreciate this show.
Yeah.
I think it tackles these issues in a very real and relatable way, even with the absurdity and the farce of it.
That ability to hit surreal and real so well is what it does so well. And I mean, they had some really notable episodes. I mean, should we talk about the fourth episode, the fish out of water episode?
Yes.
Because that I don't know if that's the best episode of the season, but it's definitely arguable that it's the best.
It was one of the most creative that they had pretty much no dialogue.
Yeah.
And they carried such emotional weight with that.
Yeah.
That was where he ends up coming across a kid that was born to a seahorse underwater and identifies with him a real horse.
Yeah.
And he has to kind of return him to his dad.
Yeah.
But he ends up kind of making a bond with this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And just given, like, they've done their work in previous episodes to establish how broken and lonely he is and how desperate he is, like, in need for a connection.
Yeah.
And so every time they give that to us, the audience, and then they pull it away, it just hurts us too.
Yeah.
Well, so well,
there's such great stuff where it's like, they're doing basically silent 30s comedy, like all kinds of, like, even they go to a factory. I mean, it is like 1930s silent comedy. And at the same time, there's this really sort of almost French New Wave-ish kind of thing where he's like trying to communicate to this director that he screwed over by writing her a note and getting to her. And he's having a bonding experience with this kid. Mm-hmm. And then there's this moment where everyone walks around, even though they're underwater. And then he's on a ledge and he jumps out in the water and just swims. And it's like, he's discovered the power of flight. And it's so, like I say, it's almost like French New Wave, like silent film kind of stuff. It's crazy. And
kind of
then
a little Birdman there.
And it's really all, it's inventive and it's intelligent and it's got a lot to say. And then it closes out with a punchline that I just about fell on the floor with the relief of it all. The punchline of him, like, oh, these things have a speaker in them. It killed me because you had all that tension, like 30 minutes of tension set up in that great punchline.
Yeah, I love any jokes that are set up in the very beginning like that, like in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
What is it, like Aaron Erickson or whatever comes up at the very end is like in the alphabetizer. I love jokes like that. Yeah, I kind of feel like this entire show, you know that episode of Futurama? Like the episode with
the dog?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of, oh, okay.
I've never seen this, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a robot and doesn't cry, so I don't know if it would affect him in the same way it affects the rest of us humans.
This is true. Yeah.
Did you guys cry at all during BoJack this
season?
No, I didn't cry.
See, yeah.
But I have no soul.
Okay.
Yeah. When I was younger.
Oh my God, one of you is soulless, one of you is a robot. I'm the only crier in the room.
We get each other, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm crying right now.
Well, there was a pod under my bed, but I think maybe if you look in the pod.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
Where you store your tears.
You'll find another person.
I found it's good never
not
to look,
me, but
never look in the pod.
Never look in the pod?
No, it's not a good idea.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what I learned. That's what I learned from those colonists on. I can't remember the name of the planet. Damn it! It was going to be an aliens joke, and I forgot the name of the planet.
Swinging a miss.
Dang. Yeah.
I was going to say it's kind of like the entire show is based on that one Futurama episode because everyone I know, whenever you say that has seen it who has a heart, robot. If you say like the dog episode of Futurama, they're like, oh God, you had to bring that up. And I feel like BoJack Horseman is like, what if we did that, but like for whole seasons?
What if we permanently damage everyone's psyche, but in every episode?
Yeah.
But it's so funny.
And it's not just him. Everyone is broken.
Yeah.
Everyone has problems. Maybe Mr. Peanut Butter a little less so. But
he's got
his problems too, in that he's like one of those must say yes, must be positive to everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that can take a toll.
And they showed that with his relationship with his brother, that he suddenly had to confront a very real, very adult situation. And he kind of broke down a little bit. He became a very angry individual, which he's never like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and Princess Caroline.
Yeah.
Her whole sort of not knowing what she wants to do. And
the whole episode in the restaurant where she's trying to avoid getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I thought it was really powerful. And I like that he followed through and he fired her because he's a consistent asshole.
Yeah.
He can't even recognize when someone has done a lot for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd, I thought, was the other. I mean, Todd's the secret weapon, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's the goofy, funny best friend.
Right.
But he's easy to overlook until they want to have that big emotional punch of even your one best friend, you continue to keep betraying the guy.
He
betrayed him like in the first season as well, right? Mm-hmm. Or was it the second?
Yeah, he didn't go to his space opera. In fact, he not only didn't go, I believe he sabotaged it because he was afraid Todd would leave or something like that, if I'm remembering correctly.
So he continues to just be terrible toward him. And when he had that party and he realized he wasn't actually nominated for the Oscar.
Yeah.
And he had no one left to be his friend and to talk to.
And he almost literally died.
Yeah.
Mr. Peanut Butter like happened to like pull him out.
By the way, the the Oscars thing. I love how they do things where like they'll do a thing and then they reveal the thing behind it. Like he gets this Oscar nod and they reveal the reason he got it is because Mr. Peanut Butter and Todd don't pay that much attention. They lost the envelope and they had to make up all the nominations. That's one of the best like freeze frame jokes. Like Simpsons does this. Futurama did this. You freeze frame that board of like them coming up with the jokes, coming up with the categories. It is full of throwaway jokes.
Yep.
All these jokes about like them making up nominations and what
Avatar.
Little they what, you know, what they don't know, yeah.
Avatar.
And speaking of long setups for jokes, the spaghetti strainer plus mirrored billboard what the underwater city, like that whole the whole disaster at the end with the spaghetti and character actress Margot Martindale, and that was such a beautiful coming together of jokes.
Dead? Did she boil in the sea?
Margot Martindale, you can't kill Margot Martindale.
Okay, good.
No. She's alive.
We can't keep killing everyone.
So one kind of big story plot we didn't talk about is Diane getting pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, my God,
yeah. And then when she goes to the abortion clinic,
yes.
And they're like, but legally, I have to tell you that the puppies that you're going to abort are very adorable. And she's like,
and then you have to watch
these
videos.
Yeah. And Mr. Peanut Butter's like, I'll watch them for you. And he's like, no, she has to watch them.
Yes.
Fine, I'll watch them with you. No, she has to watch them alone.
I don't know why that would resonate here in Texas.
I know. I don't know why. I was just like, yeah.
But that also, like, this is a cartoon that addressed abortion.
Yeah.
And they went for the joke. Like, the whole pop star deciding she was going to make abortion. Her song, the Brat Brat Pew Pew, I'm going to kill my baby. That killed me.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
But the larger point behind it,
yeah.
That it wasn't just that she was being so cold and mocking this situation,
yeah.
That a lot of people is really heavy for.
Yeah.
But that she was making people feel a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
That they could laugh at a very difficult situation.
Yeah.
Was something that the show does really well. They kind of take and have your expectations that it's just going to go for the easy joke and then they flip it on its head.
Yeah. Do you guys have favorite voices?
I mean, I love... what's his name? Paul F. Tompkins for Mr. Peanut Butter.
Paul F. Tompkins is great.
Really good.
I liked that they had Melfi playing the actual psychiatrist.
Yeah.
That was a nice bit.
I kept listening to that. I was like, why does that sound so... And then I saw in the credits. I was like, it's Lorraine Bracco. Okay.
I was perfect. Trying to think who else was in Jessica Biel playing herself.
Jessica Biel.
she was great. I'm trying to think, because they've got a great voice cast on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was bringing in a lot of great guests, too.
Yeah, and I feel like there was another... Who did... Oh, Angela Bassett was
Anna Spanikoff,
and she was great.
I felt like she plays a really straight voice, though, where everyone else has a little bit of a cartoon inflection,
yeah.
I guess.
I also like they can have Sarah Koenig... Do the ringtones for Princess Caroline.
That's pretty perfect. So, I mean, overall, this show seems to get better and better. I think it started off a little weak in the first season.
Yeah.
Kind of not knowing how much it wanted to embrace this just tragedy of his character.
Yeah.
And once they kind of did, and they really honed in on it in the second season, this third season,
man,
just
it was great.
All the way through,
yeah.
Was a fantastic story, and I'm really impressed by what they do.
Yeah.
They already got renewed for a season 4, if anyone's curious.
I need to go back and watch season 1, because I have only seen the first episode, but I'm
oh,
curious
really?
Now. Yeah, because the problem is, like you say, it gets better with every season, so it's going to be hard to go back.
Did you watch the second season then?
I love second season.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
First season gets better midway through. The first couple episodes, I was like, oh, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
But there was something about it, and I was like, power through.
It seemed weird, like it was going for like a Seth MacFarlane, let's make these
yeah.
quirky punchlines
yeah.
all the time, but there isn't any like emotional weight behind anything.
Yeah.
And then they kind of fix that.
You know, I was going to say, I'm kind of going to be sad if we don't get any more Kristen Schaal as Sarah Lynn.
I know.
But they do flashbacks. And I bet
that
we'll still
true.
See her. I mean, her
and she could just voice another character.
Yeah, I know. But that character was so. Oh, Keith Olbermann, by the way, I got to mention. The Keith Olbermann plays the whale
the
newscaster.
Whale.
Cracks me up every time.
So, speaking of things that crack you up, or maybe things that don't crack you up,
yep.
Randy, Preacher just wrapped up its first season, and there are a lot of big promises for this season. How do you feel they did in resolving the first season?
So let me start by saying that I was in love with the show the first couple episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, really liked it. And
that fifth or sixth episode with the killing the beginning in the hotel room?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And there's always good stuff through. I still love what Ruth Negga's doing with Tulip. I still like the version of Cassidy. I still think the cast is good. I think the cinematography is good. But let me ask you this, Grant.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck did we watch season one for?
I do not know.
So spoilers.
They established all of this world thinking like, okay, well, at least you're going to have a bunch of running plot lines that you can move forward from.
No.
Then they blow it all
Literally blew it all up.
They blew it all up after having such a cornball scene talking to a fake god.
Oh, that was like, the worst.
All of it was painful.
That was
I know what you're doing here. It's not going to be... And I'm like, how are they going to write it? I hope they're at least clever with how they write the reveal that it's not God, it's someone impersonating him.
Yeah.
Nope, it wasn't. It was
it
so
was the worst.
Just to like get from point A to point B. All of it was just... It was insulting.
Yeah.
It was insulting to us, especially because... We read the comic.
Yeah.
We have an expectation. They're like, okay, you guys know what you're doing. You've kind of proved that in the first couple episodes. And then there was no reason for this. There was no reason for this entire episode.
There's a lot of questionable choices. For one thing, why spend so much time in these characters if they're not going anywhere? Like, why did the girl who's not Tulip, whose name I don't remember, why did she suddenly turn on her boyfriend and feed him to a vampire? That didn't make any sense. Didn't make any sense at all. And also, the blowing up of the town... That's canonical in a way. I mean, but the problem is in the comics, Jesse gives this big
the church that blew up.
Jesse gives this big mean speech about how all these people he's trying to save are so awful to one another, and then Genesis comes down and enters him, and the whole church blows up and kills everybody in town. It wasn't his doing, and it makes sense. This was a methane explosion. It was one big fart joke.
It was, actually.
It was. I mean, you can see the Seth Rogen behind it. It's a big fart joke. A big fart blew up the town.
You know, they kept showing the methane thing.
Yeah.
Or all the shit underneath the town.
Yeah.
And the air vents. But for some reason, I thought this was going to tie into some sort of hell.
Yeah, me too.
That they're going to have Arseface in.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, they're going to do some interesting thing there.
Yeah.
Then,
nope.
And... the whole thing with like that guy that's supposed to be operating the exhaust ports for the methane thing.
Yeah.
And he just hooks up with some lady and so he can't focus on them. I don't know. The whole thing was dumb.
It didn't make any sense. I will say two things about the last couple episodes. One, the Breaking Bad homage cracked me up.
Oh yeah. They have the exact same location.
Exact same location. And it is like, I made the same van.
Yeah.
Like the guy picks him up and that was a fun little bit. And two, I still want to see Preacher season two because honestly, this was kind of like the crappy booster rocket that you launch into space with and then you discard it because you can now watch Preacher season two and you don't need to watch any of season one because only three characters survived.
So we made the argument previously that one of the biggest hurdles for this show was that they were going to have to introduce the audience to this world and build up the audience to be comfortable with this idea that Jesse Custer is making a pact with his friends to go hunt down and make God reckon for abandoning everyone on Earth.
Yeah.
And like, okay, that's a bit of a heavy subject for general viewing audiences.
Yeah.
And that's who they're going to be targeting because these are the people that are watching Walking Dead as well on AMC.
Yeah.
So how do they kind of do that? They're going to have to take baby steps and introduce them to this weird, weird world. Okay, I get that.
Yeah, sure.
But
instead of doing that, we fucked around in small town Texas for 9 episodes and then blew it up.
Yeah, yeah. And when they
I've been there. I've been there.
But when they do get to that line, it's also just another throwaway line.
Yeah.
It seemed like this was really lazy writing.
Yeah.
For a show that I thought was doing kind of well with crafting a lot of their scenes and not being heavy-handed with telling the audience certain things.
Yeah.
Both the scene with the god and in the church, and then sitting at that diner being like, well, what are we going to do? And Jesse basically turns to the camera and goes, we're going to go find God and make him reckon. Woo! The end. Good. Bye, audience.
What a clusterfuck. Yeah, it was. One other thing I liked, as long as I'm calling out things I liked,
mm-hmm.
Desmond Borges from You're the Worst playing Carlos. I always liked that guy. His character didn't make any sense, but I liked the performance.
I never seen the show.
Yeah. He was Carlos. That guy, I liked him, sort of being the hapless guy, and he betrayed them all because he was jealous. I mean, and not like jealous in a I want that. It's just like a stop fucking around, guys. I'm leaving.
I liked Ruth Negga in the beginning. I thought she was great. And then I feel like they completely squandered the character.
They did.
And it's not her fault. Yeah. But they gave her nothing to do for the rest of the season after her taking down a helicopter in the pilot with a bullet, a homemade rocket launcher.
Also, the reveal that they were going to have a baby came out of nowhere and didn't make any sense.
And it wasn't necessary.
No, it wasn't necessary.
That's just like an additional thing writers do to try and like manipulate an audience.
Yeah.
And I didn't appreciate it.
I didn't care. I didn't give a shit.
I felt a little insulted, actually. Yeah. So, like, when's the last time you were this angry with a finale?
I know. Killing? I was really mad.
The Killing, maybe?
No, The Killing I didn't like as much at the outset.
I was so disappointed with The Killing with the finale because they promised they were going to get the killer. They said, all their marketing campaigns, you will know who did the killing in the finale. And then it goes, we don't know at the end.
Was the killer all of us?
The killer is you.
They hold up a mirror at the end.
Yes. You are the killer.
That's how you get back into BoJack nicely. No, you know the last time I was this angry an ending was? Battlestar Galactica.
I never saw that.
They got to the end of that, and they'd done all this stuff about mysticism and spirituality and science and what was it going to be, and the answer was, because God did it. And I was like, fuck you.
Was that the answer? I couldn't even tell.
Yeah. The answer was like, this was God's plan. I'm like, fuck you. That's not what I turned in for.
Lost,
they're angels.
Lost didn't have a disappointing ending, just in case audience members are listening. Back off.
Yeah.
No problem there.
Like I say, I kind of still want to see season two, but I sure as fuck am not planning on buying it the way I did this season. I'll probably wait till it shows up on Netflix or Amazon.
Yeah.
Because I got to hear that it got really good, because you don't spend that much time on a bunch of characters that you fail to develop interestingly and then blow up.
Maybe that's why they blew him up. We're not really doing a good job here.
If instead of the
tell
end,
our show we're sorry as it gets swept out to sea.
You know how the old Hollywood movies just end and like the end would play over the credits? If instead it came up and it was like, our bad. Like, if that was the last thing, I would understand at least. I'd be like, okay, you recognized that you done fucked up and season two is going to be the real show. But that's the only way they get me back, is if season two is like, okay, here's the show we meant to make.
I mean, they got to be proud of this. Mm-hmm. I bet they are. I bet they're like, yeah, we nailed it. And no,
you did not.
What was that garbage?
Yeah, that was a mess.
But audience, I would love to hear what you guys actually thought of the finale of this, because I haven't read any reviews. I don't know how this was received. Did you read anything?
Steppenwall gave it kind of a mixed bag, and he seemed to be in not quite as actively angry, but sort of a disappointed place.
Oh, man. I'm actively angry.
And it'll be funny, Grant, if everybody else loved it and we're just the assholes.
Maybe. That's fine. But audience members, let us know. Are we the assholes? Did you guys agree with us? I think it's interesting.
That's, by the way, those are two different questions.
Two different. We could be both.
Remember, it's the internet. They can't find you. So be honest.
Oh, I'll find you.
Damn it. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where can people find you?
Well, let's see. I do reviews and also yammer about movies on oneofus.net. And I yammer on paper about movies, comic books, video games, all the important stuff on Austin's Alt Weekly, The Austin Chronicle.
Right on. So until next week.
When a lady teabags a guy, it's called a bushwhacking.
That is not our sign out.
Maybe it should be. We'll be right back.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at TV Dudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.